Anthony Gordon. They are in again with a good ball. Ramsey changing the pace. Sanchez. 3-0. Liverpool in deep trouble. Arsenal on the rampage. And that's a lovely touch. It has Giovinco on his way. Sebastian Giovinco. It's 2-2. Oh, it was splendid. Top draw. Sebastian Giovinco.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe on the phone, obviously, and we have another special guest that's going to be joining us to talk about what made him fall in love with soccer and what era that was. So stay tuned for that. I guess we teased it last week. So we have Patrice Geiser with us, the head coach of the Seneca men's soccer team, director of the high performance program at Vaughan Soccer Club, and also the League One coach for the Vaughan Soccer Club. So stay tuned for that. But guys, as usual, you can get to our podcast from our website, footballweekly.com. It's football spelled FUTBOLweekly.com. You can subscribe to us on Twitter, the @football_weekly. You can subscribe to us on Instagram, football_weekly_podcast. You can subscribe to hear us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're in Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. We're on every streaming service you use to get podcasts. So very, very, very easy to find. So guys, let's get into it. Another quarantine show. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast. We'll be back after this.
Lovely cushion header. Pajero! Oh, you're muted! What a head shot! What a head!
This is Marcus Hansen from FTF Canada, and you're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
Well, Joe, another week.
Another week.
Another week, another fun-filled week, I guess.
Reminiscing, of course.
Now, for those of you that have been listening and following us on Twitter, we post a back-in-the-day appreciation post. I think I missed it today, but every day we kind of put something, you know, back in the day to jog your memory about what made you love football. And we've been having a couple of guests on the last couple of weeks, so tonight's no different. Well, you know what, Joe, I'll let you introduce.
Yeah, I think this is a guy we've had on before. Been wanting to have him back, so we're glad to have Patrice Geiser join us. And I'll just go a little bit about Patrice. Patrice had is coming off a great year in his first year with Seneca College, a men's program. I would say leading them back to prominence and getting that program totally headed in the right direction once again. They went to nationals this year, had some great results, had a great season. Patrice was named the OCAA Coach of the Year. Patrice is also the League One Ontario coach for Vaughan Soccer Club and also the High Performance Director at Vaughan Soccer Club. And we'll talk about the many players that he's helped and his program has helped get to the next level and next levels of the game, of course, into collegiate soccer in Canada, U.S., and of course, the ultimate goal, professional soccer. And we'll talk about, and just like we have on the show, you know, this year, very historic, as we said it a couple of months back. We highlighted it on our podcast, 4 players from the Vaughan Soccer Club getting drafted in the first round.
That's amazing.
First 20 in the top 20. Yeah, so amazing. And Patrice is our guy who's working behind the scenes and always putting things together. So pretty good introduction, eh, Reg? And there we have Patrice.
That's not bad.
Welcome, you guys don't want, what's up, guys? Yeah, I had to give Joe a lot of money for that. That's why I was like, no, don't let Reggie go. We got to make sure Joe goes.
Always pulling the strings, eh? The gaffer is always pulling the strings.
Yeah. That's it. I appreciate that. What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing okay. The best we can, I guess, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no one really asked us if we wanted this to happen and be in this predicament, and everything always happens for a reason. So, You know, a chance to read more and relax more and, you know, drink different kind of beverages and sleep at different kind of hours.
No way.
A lot of Zoom meetings, eh, guys? On Zooms and meets and chats. Yeah, that's what we got to do, right?
Who would have thought you'd be able to have a soccer practice over the internet, right? So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, work. I just don't want this to go away. Maybe this is how we end up coaching in the World Cup, right? I've always wanted to coach in the World Cup. Maybe this is my chance through Zoom.
The virtual World Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
Today, again, continuing with our theme, like Reggie said, we've been going with, you know, 90s football, and we fell in love with 90s. And don't worry, we got a lot of guys in the 2000s with our next week's slew of guests. But for now, we thought we'd end it with a bang with Patrice, because, and we'll get to what Patrice was got us going with, which is really good on social media, right? And we'll talk about that. But Pat, we've been talking about it. Me and Reggie have been going back and forth. It started with just a chat, you know, on the phone, and then we're like, hey, let's take it to the pod. You know, we're 90s football guys. We were in our prime of our life. We're falling in love with the game, yes, even when we were smaller. But we were really looking at, you know, the 1990 World Cup and everyone viewing that and then going on. What are, I would say, from the 1990 to 2000, just like we've been asking all of our guests, few players, teams, maybe a jersey, maybe a certain game you watched on TV that really made you fall in love with this game?
I mean, my story, just like everybody else, starts at a younger age. You know, we had a father or an uncle or even a mother that just wanted us to fall in love with the game. And, you know, eventually we grew up with a ball and we started to watch more and more. But yeah, you're right. There's always an era. I mean, for me, I can't forget about the 94 World Cup. I thought that was huge. I was just so intrigued at the fact that it was coming to US and I'm so close by. I was at an age where I had a full understanding of the game, you know. But even before that, in the early 90s, I was so intrigued with, you know, I wasn't a fan of necessarily Napoli, but intrigued with what was going on with Maradona leading up to the 94 World Cup and all the controversy. And sure. Really, for me, the 90s was about the controversy and the story behind the games, almost like all of us can refer to wrestling, you know, all the wrestlers we love. For the guys that had a story behind it. Yeah, right. It was a background story. You know, Maradona leaves Barcelona and goes to Napoli and he's backed by mob money. Oh, wow, I got to see this.
Right.
So I just thought that was it. But for me, my eternal love has always been Barcelona. You know, the team they had in the mid-90s was, you know, I don't think, but never their best team, but a team that really made me fall in love even further. You know, this was the original Ronaldo. Yeah. Ronald Koeman, Ristov Stoichkov, and they had a phenomenal team. And one of the, you know, I remember that their interesting story is back in the day when Kappa was still very relevant in the market. Mm-hmm. Kappa sponsored Barcelona, and I remember buying the jersey. And I remember a weekend, the backlash that Barcelona received. And it was because the jersey is obviously blue and red, and the Kappa logo was going on the shoulders, but the logo was in white. You know, Barcelona just got so much heat. Kappa got heat because, you know, you're not allowed to have anything white, you know, Real Madrid on your jersey.
Right.
So yeah, that, see? I kept that jersey and I just thought it was fascinating. I remember that season, the famous goal that Ronaldo scored, going through everybody and many, and, you know, the famous comeback in the Copa del Rey against Atletico Madrid. You know, I always tell people, if you want to watch one of the best games, watching the 97, you know, Atletico Madrid was a really good team against Barcelona. And, you know, I think the game was different. The approach was different. Everything. Yeah. But everything is different. So, really, that was a great era. And it's continued. And the game evolves as we all do. So, it was
see,
great.
This is – I'm glad Pat gave us this Barca history because, again, me and Reggie talk about this a lot, Pat. And I know, you know, I've been around Pat with the young lads and when he's coaching them. And that's one of his great things is this – his banter with them and so on. And, you know, Reg, and I know Pat said this before we talked about it, Pat's giving you the Barca history, right? And it's something like, you know, it's hard because I always say this with Patriots fans, right? They say, oh, yeah, when Tom Brady's gone, which he's gone now, how many are you going to be fans? Right. You know, Patrice wasn't just the era of, you know, that we've seen just recently. Legit, real Barca fan from back in the day. And look at that, giving us that piece of jersey gold there, Reg.
That's it. I didn't even know that.
Right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if you look now, all the numbers are generally in gold, right? They're never in white. And you always wonder, you're like, why doesn't it make sense to put a white number on a blue and a red? And Barca is also, they have never been sponsored by anything until last year. So they've never had a sponsor. So even back in the day when they had the Qatar Foundation, that was them giving money to them. So Barca prides themselves on their members giving money and donating money as sponsor. So they've, you know, because there's all these stories that, you know, when Fiat owned a player, they pressed to get, you know, Totti there or to get that guy there. So Barca believes they're completely not influenced by any outside potential people you know, our sponsors. So it's you know, like it says on the jersey, more than a club, right? More than just a club.
Those are nuggets, so, Pat. Nuggets.
Hey, nuggets, yeah. Right? He got us all, Rich. He told us the era, told us some players, and he gave us the jersey love. Pat, efficient, eh, Pat? It's efficiency. So he said, okay, so Barca knows players and so on. If there's, you said the 94 World Cup, of course, even us two being so close to it, right? Is there a moment, a World Cup moment for you that was like, wow, in that era? So many, I know.
I remember if there was a World Cup that I have to say I was blown away, it's the 86 World Cup, what Maradona did. I mean, there hasn't been, you know, I mean, we have this documentary that came out right now, The Last Dance, and we see what Michael Jordan's done through that dynasty. It's quite neat to see it because we were part of it. And it was in our era. And I remember during Maradona, he did the same from 86 to 91, 92, from Argentina to Napoli and the turnaround. So if I had to pick a World Cup that I was blown away, I thought it was 86. 94, you know, great World Cup because, you know, Brazil was at its best. Romario, who I've always loved. And Romario is a former Barca player.
That's right.
And I always loved the style he played. But, you know, we were all taken back in our naive and innocent eyes about what happened with Escobar and the own goal against USA. And, you know, you're young, you're 18, 19, that happens. You're like, oh, my God, this is more than just a fun game, right? So, you know, those kind of moments are ones that pop out to me, you know, on Maradona being deemed ineligible at the beginning of the World Cup because of his, you know, use of illegal substance and whatever. So,
I remember when him going at, after the camera, right?
Nigeria, great goal against Nigeria.
That's right. It was that game. So, you know, Reg, I talked about this before, and Patrice just conjured up the memory too. It's like the 94 World Cup. Okay, cheer for Italy. Yeah, they lost. And they lost to Brazil. I remember watching, talk about the little things. I remember them walking out, and I always made note of this. Right? And I said a couple weeks ago in the pod, watching like the youth teams in Brazil, they come out walking hand in hand. So here I am going, okay, I'm watching my young guy full of, and all that energy going, okay, Italy's playing Brazil. Oh, my God, we're already up against it. And you see them walking out hand in hand. And I'm like, even though, of course, I'm cheering for Italy, I'm like, this is, it's still something to behold. And like Pat said, that was them. That was Brazil when they were Brazil. And with all due respect to the teams now, we said this the other week, they're having fun. They're playing the game the right way to the beat of the samba. You know, Cafu. Cafu's one of my favorite players of all time. Why? Playing with a smile. So I'm glad that Patrice brought that up because that's, even as a, you know, you got to tip your hat, right? You go to war, you want to win a game. But at the end of the day, that's still, for me, reminds me, them walking out in Pasadena, the Rose Bowl, hand in hand. So anyway, don't get me wrong. I was still crushed, but it was still thinking back. So, okay. So we got Patrice on. And again, like Reggie said, that's gold. Patrice gave us a lot of gold there. And that's awesome. But Patrice started a social media thread that was pretty amazing. I got to give it to you, Pat. You know, you got a few of them. So I don't know, Reg's head probably won't fit through the door after this, but it's okay. Pat's used to me anyway. It was a great thread, actually. And Reggie and I always talk about this, like, where have all the hard men gone? Where are all the tough guys gone? And so Patrice starts a thread a couple weeks ago. And it was, you know what, to be fair, had a lot of legs, didn't it, Pat? A lot of people got involved.
For sure. And most of the, I think maybe people have more time on their hand now. So we are all looking at social media. Maybe I would have gotten like one response. I would have gotten my one response and it would have been from my wife. Like, stop this nonsense. Go cut the grass. So now it's, you know, people are maybe easier entertained. So,
Pat starts this great thread and it's about the tough guys, the hard men. Where have they gone? Where are the tough guys in today's game? And I thought that was really, because it got me too. And Pat, you started it with Ibra. So Pat, just going about it, what made you think of that thread?
I think it's a social question more than a football question. It really is. I'm also a huge basketball fan. So if you guys remember there's a great documentary. It was on the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys.
Rick Mahorn, Lambeer,
No Layup Rules, Charles Oakley. And then
Vinny Johnson.
Where is that now? And in football, I think, you know, we think about today. And I asked the young guys, I said, you know, what's happened now? Because where are those strong characters? And these guys that were physically intimidating dudes were also strong characters. They were leaders. They were at the ref. They were at the opponent. You know, like there's the famous story. Patrick Vieira went to pick on Gary Neville. And Roy Keane caught up to him in the tunnel and said, hey, won't you pick on someone your own size? There was an art about it. It was completely different. So for me, it's a social question. Why is it that those kind of players have this? And you know what? When you ask a young guy, and these young guys don't know them, they're like, well, because players are better. I'm like, listen, you got to watch your mouth. Because
it's not true.
Patrick Vieira was an incredible player. Yeah. And he's still today. Roy Keane.
Great footballer too. People forget about that.
You go through the list. One of the bad guys, and it's great story on him, is Hristo Stoichkov. Yeah. You know, that guy was crazy, and he was a Barca player. And Johan Cruyff used to always comment on him and talk about him. And you know, I remember him saying that he was nurtured with an evil milk. You know, and he had names like the Dagger, the Gunslinger. You know, and it was crazy, right? And I just think that he's he was a world-class player.
Golden ball winner.
They were hacks, and they were intimidating guys. But back in the day, you know, the nicknames I remember is the Wolfman, Dr. Death, you know, the Butcher of Bilbao, all these guys. And it was like wrestling, like I said.
Yeah.
Right?
Characters,
and,
right? Characters.
And now, when I think about it, it just doesn't exist. So I think it's a social question. Leaders are starting to disappear. We're, you know, who are the most successful coaches in today's modern day football? I think one of the characteristics you have to have is a leader. So the coaches have taken, and go back 30, 40 years. You think about all the coaches that were more timid, they provided information, and they were strong in the change room and, you know, ruled what an iron fence they needed to be. Now you have strong characters. Don't mistake Pep, Klopp, Jose, these are all strong characters. And they've become so much leaders.
It's a great point.
Players no longer have to take those roles to get the other guys in the change room fired up and going. So I think it really is a society and a social question. As leaders have disappeared, it's become so important to do things that you approved of, like no-look passes and, you know, doing things rather than back in the day. And of course, your standard of the officiating has changed a bit, you know. Interesting story. In early 90s, Leeds United won the Premier League. That team had Gary Speed, David Batty, Gordon Strachan, King Eric, and all those guys. Year after, they finished 3 points out of relegation.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same team. What changed? What was the big change from 93 to 94? That happened in the sport of football. Trivia question for all of our audience.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say the passback rule.
That's correct, Joe.
There you go.
Rule.
See?
The goalies used to have such terrible feet because what used to happen, Reggie, you pass it, go back to the goalie. Goalie grabs it, walks it up to 18, punts it. A guy flicks it on.
That's right.
King Eric goes and scores. Yeah. North to south as quickly as possible.
Really changed the Italian game, too. I mean, making a joke, but it's true.
It did. So all these things add up to it. So I think we're in part of the world that it's changed. But back in the day, every team had a strong figure. And they all had the coolest nicknames, you know, like the Bulgarian Wolf.
Yeah.
You know, characters. He was in the 94 World Cup. The Butcher of Bilbao. You know, that guy broke Maradona's leg when he came to Barcelona the first year. So I could tell you Roy Keane. I used to love Jaap Stam. Patrick Vieira, the Invincibles. I think it's really the fact to protect the referees now, protect your star players a bit more. So you don't need to say, hey, you're going to have a go at our guy. We'll kill your guy.
Yeah. You know what? The characters are gone. These guys, everyone, and Patrice can attest to this more, you know, myself too with coaching, but Pat is in the game constantly. But everyone wants to be a 10. Everybody wants to be the guy and stuff. And whereas I thought before, I mean, maybe I'm showing my age. Maybe, of course, that was kind of me anyway, is that gritty kind of attitude, right, that gets you, you know, that gets teams going. That's still a place. And you name your coach that doesn't want that player. Of course, it's good. We want to play better football. Pat is one of those guys. His teams do always want to play good football. But the guys with a bit of bite, you know, and I think – and knowing both these guys, you know, and people listening, you're gritting your teeth as you're saying this stuff. and you want to find that player, right? Right? Because listen, everybody knows Reggie, you know, they know he's that type of player too. So I agree, Pat. That's a good point. And I think,
yeah, but the young guys is crazy. They think, you know, so I think the last standing character / dudes that would stand up were Gattuso and, you know, Zlatan, who's still there. But,
yeah,
you know, these kids think that the young players think that those guys were hacks. Well, you know what? King Eric was known to have a goal. You felt Eric, he's coming for you. And he's arguably, you know, maybe one of the better forwards that's played this game in the past 30, 40 years. Yeah, you know,
Cantona was a special talent, that guy.
Right.
But look at him, right? And I think about, like I said, Stoichkov. And then there's Paulo Montero. He played for Juventus.
Yeah,
he had over 20 red cards in big games. And he earned every single one of them. I just think that, you know, the last bad guys were Pepe, Gattuso, and Zlatan. Yeah. But the media makes Pepe, and look, I hate Pepe, not because of the media tells me, because he played for Real. But it's not good to be that guy, right? Yeah. Nobody wants to be that guy.
That's right.
The media portrays you to be a bad guy. And even their own fans turn on him. But back in the day, you were loved. Like, I remember Patrick Vieira when he came to Arsenal. Arsenal was an unprotected, not disciplined, the beginning of the days of Arsene Wenger.
Mm-hmm.
And man, oh man, Patrick Vieira, the Invincibles. And I loved watching that Arsenal team.
Well, it's just the combination of a player that can have that grit and that mindset that, you know what, I'm a brick wall, but still be able to play is different. Yes. Because it's either you're a skill player, and everyone's a skill player. I think every I don't know, you guys are coaches, how you see it, but I think the way that the game is played now, that everybody has to be able to play the ball, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day, you have a Gattuso in there that might not be on the same level as most of the players at AC Milan at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as skill goes, but
100%. He has to
put in his work, and his work is, okay, I'm not as skilled as these guys. I got to be the guy that gets the ball back so I can get it back to those guys. Nowadays in soccer, everybody has to be a ball player, and they kind of shy away from that physical side of the game as well.
Yeah, for sure. And look, back in the day, I think managers, Reggie, used to say, hey, you don't like what's happening? Stand up for yourself. That's what you used to tell center forwards, right?
Yeah.
So even, you know, a fancy, handsome, well-groomed David Ginola, when he was at Newcastle, he went after players, and he was crazy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, you know, I just think that people stood up for themselves. And now, you know,
Everyone looks to the ref for cards, right? So
And I think, you know, the players that really started to take that to new heights where, you know, and as sad as it is, because he was kind of, but I mean, he's a traitor, so I could say it happily, you know, Neymar and Raheem Sterling took it to new heights.
I mean,
Neymar's exaggeration and kids who idolize him, well, you know, it's easy. Just like our kids do the things we do at home as parents, our kids that watch him and idolize him do the same thing on the field. It's no different than parenthood.
Right.
So there's nobody that's a tough character to follow anymore. On TV, all they see is the fancier things and the dives, and all he does is beg for calls. So I just think the generation's changed. Could it turn around?
No,
I don't think so. No. I think it's lost art. Yeah. Look, center backs don't even head the ball anymore.
Oh my God.
They jump up and try to jump in the air to kick it with their feet, right?
So I feel like Pat could speak this more, Reggie, but I feel like even, you know, we're moving, and I know it's happening more and more in the pro game, and Patrice can speak more to that, I'm sure, but, you know, they're moving guys who play in that defensive midfield role of six and put them at center back because of their feet and so on.
Right.
Hey, I'm guilty of it too, right?
We that's a good point too, for sure. You know? And look, I mean, the last thing I'll add to that is I think, you know, you talk about Cafu, right? Think about the 90s. Tell me the Brazilian right back. Go. 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. Tell me.
For me, it was him, no?
Yes, you're right. But today...
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's the birth and the growth of younger players. National teams... Guys, I watched like Spain the other day. I'm like, who the hell are half these guys?
Yeah, it's so replaceable. Yeah, so, you're right. It's interchangeable parts. Yeah.
Because of that, there's a lack of cohesiveness. And in clubs, guys, Arsenal, the Invincibles, Barca in the mid-90s, guys, and I mean, maybe it was in the mid-90s where it started to accelerate, but, you know, think about the Man United with the class of 92. Because you were so together, you dare not change teams because you've done sinful things to go to the other change room. Imagine Patrick Vieira going to Man United.
Yeah, say I'm here.
Or Tottenham or something like that.
Yeah. Right, you'd be dead. Right. Yeah. So now it's different. So I think there was, you know, you're like, hey, he called me. Look, one of the we talked about horrific tackles. I remember Roy Keane's on Holland. Mm-hmm. But there's a story about it. There's writes about it in the book.
Right.
And there's a background. So it's often, you know, if it was the second leg of the year and you didn't have a chance, you put it in your book and you waited 8 months to get that guy back on the next leg. And now, hey, you know what? In 8 months, maybe you're that guy's teammate because of the enhanced transfer,
additional
guys moving.
We talk about the NBA. It happens everywhere. And you're right. It happens in football too, right? Like in soccer. Yeah, this guy might be with us. He could help us.
Yeah, the rivalries are a lost art. I mean, who are the greatest rivalries today, you know, that are true with some of the, you know, home talent that you may have? You know, think about it, right? Celtic and Rangers barely have any guys that are Catholic or Protestant other than the fans that are fighting. Yeah. You know, I think same as my team, Barcelona, in the early 2010s was great to watch them because I had five, six guys from the academy, you know,
Xavi,
Iniesta, Pique, Fabregas, Messi. And now that's starting to go away. You know, do these other players really appreciate wearing the color on the shirt? And if they don't, how do they really know it's a rivalry when they play Real Madrid, other than the fact that it's globally TV?
Right.
You know,
and people are telling you this is the rivalry of all rivalries, right? Yeah.
That's correct. That's correct. Absolutely.
So, guys, here we go. Okay. I know what Reggie's going to say back. But, all right, you guys name this. And for me, this is our era, guys. Like, I'm going to say it. Like, Vieira and Roy Keane, for me, was like, wow. Like, this was...
Yeah, that was the best one.
It was the best. Like, that, right, for me, like, again, when Serie A was, you know, king, and I still watched the Premier League, like, wow, this is making... That for me, was making me go, whoa, right? As well as watching Paul Scholes, who I really, really loved. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So, okay, you got one guy. One of those two. Only one you can pick.
Out of Keane or Vieira?
Yeah. It's easy for me. I don't even have to think about it.
Come on.
I think this is where we're going to get the... Okay, so let's have Reggie go first. Go ahead, Reggie. It's PV for sure. No problem. You're a gunner. You're a gunner. Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, Patrice? they put a lost France back on the map.
Yep.
You know, he played ball. He covered ground. He was athletic. He was tough.
Long legs. He could get anything. Any tackle. He wins any tackle.
Yeah. So it's Patrice, but yeah, it's Patrick Vieira, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, this is where, you know, I'm going to put like, so Jordan Feliciano will be on our show soon too, Pat. And this is where I know you'll, I'm going to pick Patrick Vieira, but because of the memory lane angle. Do you know where I'm going with this? Reg, you should know why I'm going to pick Patrick Vieira.
Memory lane? Why? AC?
Yeah, that's right. He was a young lad at AC Milan. A lot of people don't know that.
All I have is
history, AC, Juve, and Inter too, right? So
I have nothing. Yeah. Well, he was actually a player at Juve, but at AC Milan, it was like Aubameyang. We just said, hey, here you go. So
I saw a picture of Aubameyang in the jersey, and I was just like, the guy looks so different now.
I don't have much, guys. I do have and I have a ton of respect for Barcelona. Me and Reggie go at it too, Pat, so it's not because I'm trying to say anything there. But for me, obviously AC Milan, when AC Milan beat Barcelona, it was, I couldn't believe it, because that Barcelona team, and this is for the young guys who always check in with us, and Pat mentioned that 2010 era of Barca, which is for me the best team I've ever seen. It's just incredible. But that 90s, like those mid-90s Barcelona teams, I think because of the era, and Reggie talks about this too, you couldn't watch football games all the time, Pat. It doesn't get appreciated. That was a special team. And of course, they had a pretty good coach.
Igor Stoichkov.
Right,
you know, the original Ronaldo,
just incredible. So,
Figo was there too, no?
Oh, Figo came in 96, 97.
And in that era for me, like watching that coach, he was a pretty good player.
It was unbelievable. You're right, you know, we didn't get to watch it, but when we did, it's great. I'll tell you, you can see a lot of the game. I really recommend for anyone that wants to watch a game and misses watching games. Watch the Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, the Copa del Rey game. It's just phenomenal. Atletico Madrid has a 4-1 lead, I believe, or a 3-1 lead, and it's just unbelievable. It was a great story, great game, right. Great comeback. And you're right, it was different. And again, to add to what you were saying, I think that's when the Premiership took new heights in the early 2000s. That Man United team was excellent. Yeah. Arsenal, you know, they splashed out money. Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry, Freddie Ljungberg, Robert Perez. It was great. And look, it's still there for me, but the rivalries, the games, the bite.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Pat, you know how excited you made Reggie, right? Like, any of these names, like he's like, you know what he's gonna do after this, right? He's gonna put on the old Gunners jersey, the JBC.
How do you know I'm not wearing it now?
I'm pretty scared that it's the only thing you're wearing, but anyway, we'll leave that for now. So, Reg, we said gold, and Patrice keeps giving us that. Look at the Nuggets, amazing. So we appreciate it, Pat, and I love his reference about the Bad Boys because you know, Pat, people always bother us on our. You know, whenever Menzies team's going on, you guys always talk going on about the 80s and 90s in basketball. We say you couldn't go down the lane without getting destroyed, right? So that's us in football, too. We like
those are great days, man. Right? Spike Lee. Spike Lee at the stands.
But the referees realize that, okay, we're just going to let them play. They'll sort it out themselves. And that's when we had the hardest basketball for me. And then we're seeing it now, like you said in The Last Dance, when Jordan was coming up, that Celtic team that he scored 63 points against, they were killers. Deadly guys.
Absolutely.
They will slap you in the face just for walking in the arena.
I feel
bad for my boy Reggie here, Pat.
It was different time. Look, different the story with Isaiah, the game that he scored 30-plus points in the last quarter to win it, and he could barely walk. He had rolled his ankle.
Yeah,
it makes me, you know, gives me goosebumps and makes me tearful. Not because I hate the Pistons, but because you think about it today, I feel I've rolled my ankle. I'm out. I don't care if it's NBA Finals.
Yeah, load management.
I still have 6 years left contract. In my career.
Right.
There'll
be
another game.
Right.
Well, what if you're never back in the NBA Finals? Exactly. You know. So I just think that. It's a day now, and look, I'm the last guy to say like play injured. It's the point is the internal drive to say that the competitiveness, you know, like they talk about Kobe. Kobe used to say that, you know, whenever they had home games and a guy requested to come in, you know, so they were playing, you know, somebody else, and a player wanted, Vince Carter wanted to go shoot around. He made a point of being at the arena himself, shooting more, being there. So he would never allow an opposition player to think, hey, don't even think of the idea that you're going to outwork me.
Right.
Don't let your coach get fascinated that I'm better than you, but you could gain work and gain that edge because I'm better and harder working. That was the whole, you know, Mamba mentality. And that's not even that long ago. God bless his soul. We're talking like 10 years ago. And that's
good
gone
point.
Now. I just think everybody wants to play the piano and nobody wants to push the piano.
Oh, there it is, right?
So it's
you know, there's the line, man.
Look at quarterbacks, guys. Look,
yes, right.
Quarterbacks now are all 6'6", 260, and they dive. Like, they dive when they run. Back in the day, you know, you look and
drop your shoulder.
That's
it.
Jeez. They're trying to run you over.
That's right. So I think, you know, it's great for the sport that we love, but when you relate it across the board, I see it happening in all sports, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's true.
Well said, Pat. All right, so again, this is, I mean, it's like you've been listening to us and listening to me and Reg chat over beer for the last year, so it's good to hear some similarities.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Pat, we want to talk a little bit about what you've been doing. I mentioned it in the beginning. We've been talking about it throughout our show, right, Reg?
Yeah.
And the months and so on in the years, we always give props to local guys. Patrice Geiser is one of those guys doing a great job as the director of high performance at Vaughan Soccer Club. I mentioned before, coach of the year in the OCAA in Seneca. And his first year, guys, first year bringing this program back to life. And that is the absolute truth. And, of course, as a head coach of Vaughan Soccer Club's League One team. So, Pat, a pretty special year. Okay, I know you've been part of some good things ever since you in your long tenure at Vaughan, but this year in particular was pretty amazing, right? I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always say that every season brings a different story. Every game brings a different story. Every training session brings a different story. But it really was, for me, just an incredible year. You know, I think that when I go back right to the beginning, you know, there was a really strong hype about this Canada Cup. We were lucky to be a part of it. You know, the tough loss that we had against Halifax at home.
Yeah, we mentioned 3-2, about it along our pod.
And for us to go back to Halifax, what a great atmosphere, what a great team, great organization. Coach Hart, you know, great man, great coach, great person. They welcomed us open arms. To go there in front of 6,000 people as an amateur team with a very young team and to be able to win 1-0. We were saddened that we didn't get through with aggregate, but I think it's the you know, sometimes
full value for the win,
by
the way, guys. Full value. The Pats, be modest. That was a great performance. Go ahead. Sorry, coach.
And I think, you know, sometimes selfishly you want to win to play more games. Great. We would have loved to have gone to Winnipeg to play Valor. But when I think about it, you know, I saw the message and the look on some of the boys' face that, you know, it's the moment of recognition that I can do this. This is possible. And we were supposed to be terrible this year. Or last year, I should say, pardon me, because we lost 10 guys to CPL. You know, our center mid was Matthew Arnone, Dylan Sacramento, and Zach Drake. All three were gone. You know, we lost pretty much, you know, Justin Springer, Daniel Gogarty. We were,
Austin,
you know,
Ricci.
Brand new team. And but I had no hesitation because I've known some of these kids. I still think the center mid that we had with, like, Alistair Johnson, Eddie Lay, and Samir was one of the best I've seen in my days. You know,
for
our
sure.
two players wide were Ryan Raposo and Massimo Ferrin. Have
not bad.
Professional.
Red's not bad.
I just think all across the board, it was great. And I was sad to see us not advance in aggregate. I was sad to see us knocked out of the playoffs. I think the fact that we were so young perhaps had to do with that. But I just really... You know, in July, the football that we played against Oakville, Woodbridge, you know, there was 6-7 games in a row when we hit our strides before we lost kids to go back to school, was remarkable, remarkable. I mean, you know, I have done more challenging to myself. How can I do things to prepare my team better? And I've become a bit more of a video analyst and sharing stats with the
such
team.
A big part of the game, isn't
you know,
it, now, Pat?
We had games that we were making 800 passes a game, which is... you know, even for a professional team,
yeah, that's
incredible.
That's a big number.
Yeah, so we played a real attractive style. I was just really happy that everybody bought in. And then, you know, as I said, I think all that success helped our boys who went to school, like Alistair and Ryan and Mass, to be successful in their senior year, and a big year for them, or for Ryan, an underclassman, big year, because they felt the momentum. And we all know how important it is to have rhythm and confidence and feel good. So really, I think the reason that it was such a special year is because collectively we were successful, but the players individually were successful. And then, you know, for me to finish that off and be able to go to Seneca, you know, uncharted, untested grounds for myself. You know, I was with York University and Ryerson as an assistant. So, but this, you know, maybe 2007, 2010, I've taken a break from it. So for me to be a part of it as a head coach at a program that had, you know, done okay, but I had ambitions to do more. And, you know, we came back with, out of the 24, 19 players are new. So we had every reason to expect a mediocre performance, but we had a 12-game winning streak. And we, you know, when we lost, and we lost the first game, and that was the only loss we had until the semifinals of provincials. So I was really happy with such a young group. And most importantly, the same message. Culturally, it was great to see these young men believe in themselves, do more. We had a kid already transferred that's going to a Division I school because he found success in his new surroundings. And several other guys have been identified by CPL teams. So it was a great year, but most importantly, you know, I've done okay and won a couple of games in my life. I'm okay with that. I love to see the story of our individual players get recognized and be given a chance to be higher. So that's what made it more special for me.
It's great that you're able to, you know, bring a group of young kids together and make them believe not only in themselves, but in the system that you're teaching. That just shows, that shows to me that they can go anywhere and adapt to anything. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Again, Pat, congratulations to you and the entire group that was working with them, of course, on your direction. And again, just we mentioned this before, but those four players this year that were drafted were, of course, Ryan Raposo out of Syracuse, going to Vancouver, Alistair Johnston from Wake Forest, going to Nashville. We had Niall Higgins, also from Syracuse, getting drafted by our hometown team, TFC. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had Deion Harris getting drafted out of UConn, getting drafted out to Real Salt Lake. Correct, Patrice?
Yeah, that's all correct. Yep. Yeah.
So, again, I mean, pretty amazing. Top, I mean, four guys in the first 20 picks, Canadians, for like a Patrice Weiss talks about it. You know, we've had Anthony Vidorian from Vaughn Soccer. We've had Carm Sackman from Vaughn Soccer. We're going to have other guys on too. But, you know, Pat is leading up the program. You know, Pat always talks about this little club, right? So it's a good thing to see. And we know that other guys are doing good things. But it's good to be the leader in this too. So that's awesome. Okay,
yeah,
so you know,
I don't think that's ever been – I have not been able to find it. But I think that's the first time in the history of MLS that four players were drafted in the top 20 from the same club. And that includes MLS academies or European teams or anything.
For sure.
So, it's great because the four of them were so connected. We've had all of them on Zoom conversations with current players.
Yeah.
You know, it's the culture that we've created has become to a point that, you know, when you do something so well, you could potentially leave it operating and it continues to work at its best. Because everybody knows what's expected of them and they're self-driven, right? So I think we've been lucky to develop that, you know, when this year we're at a showcase, a local showcase, Dane St. Clair and Kamal came to watch our 2002 team when they didn't know one guy and talked to them. And we're cheering them on to win because it meant for them, you know, and the Vaughn logo, the Vaughn badge, the Vaughn name has been something that's been part of their story and something they're proud of. And I'm proud of that as well.
That's great. And again, something to be proud of for sure. Now, Pat, we have a real pressing question here. I'm an advocate for Reggie, okay? So Reggie knows that you help out young guys get to the next level. Again, whatever that might be, collegiate, college in Canada, you know, university in Canada, NCAA, whatever. So, you know, Reggie did play the NCAA. So he thinks he might have a year of eligibility left. Pat, you think you can help this guy?
For sure, man. For sure. He's a local guy.
Right?
You know what? We were so young, we could use a vet.
Listen,
just,
I don't.
Know, Patrick
I was
Vieira,
thinking,
right?
Pat, I was thinking him and Chris Turner be the center backs. You know?
Yeah. Patrick Vieira, man.
There you go.
Well, guys, I don't do wind sprints anymore, and I don't weight train, and I don't wake up for practice. So.
Look, neither did Pirlo when he went to NYCFC.
That's true.
Pat, Reggie and Pirlo. I mean, you couldn't get like it. I'm having visions of the movie Twins.
You know, I've never been in a sentence with Pirlo, so thank you for that.
Well, there you go now. There's always a first, right? There's always.
That's awesome. Patrice, as always, and this is why we love having you on the show. We hope to have you on again. It's always great to talk to you. But continued success. Keep doing the good things, fighting the good fight. And we wish you all the best, and we hope that, you know, things with Vaughn and Seneca keep going your way and helping the young lads go, and hopefully we can get back to football pretty soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Be safe and take care, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon. Show is great. I tune in every week. Keep it going, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you, Pat. So that was Patrice Geiser, head coach of the Men's Seneca team. He was the director of the high-performance team at Vaughn. So we want to thank Patrice for coming on the show this week. Like Joe said in the beginning, we're starting the 2000s next week, and we have, I think it's Jordan Feliciano on the show, Joe. Is that correct?
Yeah, a guy Patrice knows very well.
Okay.
So is he old enough to know the 2000s?
Yeah. I was going to say, Pat, don't worry. We'll cut out all the bad stuff.
As his consigliere.
we'll cut out all the bad stuff we said about him. So we'll be okay with that. But yeah, he'll be ushering in the 2000s.
He's going to be talking about Luis Figo and Cristiano Ronaldo. Just don't let him talk about Portugal.
Portuguese, for sure.
So guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.